119, close to the middle of your Bible there. Psalms chapter 119. We'll read one verse tonight all together. Verse number 164. Psalms 119, verse 164. We'll read this all together in unison. Psalms 119, 164. The Bible says, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for all that you've done for us. You've been good to us. If you never did another good thing for us, you truly still would be a good God. Lord, we don't pause to pray now because it's on the schedule. Lord, we pause to pray because we truly desire your presence here. It's been a good day already. There's been many blessings we've enjoyed this morning, but the truth is, this morning's blessings won't do for tonight. We need you afresh and anew tonight. Lord, there's a lot going on. There's many sick. There's a lot of projects staring us in the face for the coming week. Lord, may we pause for just a minute, setting those aside, and be able to focus on a truth that's been prepared for us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit's power now as we listen. We'll yield ourselves to you. But please fill our pastor now. Anoint him with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to tackle something tonight that is missing in many Christians' lives personally. It's missing, and it's been done wrongly in many churches for a long time. We do it rightly here. And I think it's something that you could add to your life, no matter what level of this you are at, that will help you. Let me start by saying this. We live in a time of negativity, criticism, and plain old rudeness being acceptable. We label things constructive criticism, which is actually an excuse to tell everybody what you don't like about what you see. It's a way for you to think positively about how negative you think. Look how gloomy and nasty society is because of constructive criticism. It's called the news media. Just because you know something or think you see something wrong or negative doesn't mean that everybody needs to hear it. You know, there's a lot of things I see in life that are wrong, but I don't go around telling everybody what I see. Just because I see something wrong, sometimes talking about it draws more attention to it to bring more wrong. Christians are even far more negative than ever in history. We have people teaching the Bible according to their own life or their own opinion. Can I tell you something? God said the Bible is of no private interpretation. We don't care about your opinion. We don't care about my opinion. We care about God's opinion. It's not about my life. It's about the truth that will change your life. You see, we now have church members and deacons and things that think they know the Bible better than their pastor. Well, I hate to tell you something. I love you. Many of you in here have read and studied the Bible for many years. But if you know the Bible better than I do, I'll eat your hat. I heard a guy on the so-called Christian radio a few years ago. It was about January. He said, I just completed my way all the way through the Bible in a year, reading for the first time in my life. And the guy's about my age. Say, what'd you do, preacher? After I turned the radio off, I gave the guy a tongue lashing. He didn't hear it, but I sure felt better. I thought, how tragic for a quote-unquote pastor to have never read his Bible through once in a year before. To me, that he was all proud of himself. I thought, man, I'd be ashamed to say that in public, and I'd really be ashamed to say it on public radio. I wanted to call him and call his church and ask him to resign and get an honest job. I didn't have to, because a couple years later, he did resign. Go figure. No wonder churches are so negative and nasty. I've helped a pastor this week who right now is probably in a battle. He's got lay people that think they know how to run the church better than he does. And Say, what'd you tell him? Fight. Say, really? Yeah, fight. Fight for right. Fight for truth. Don't fight to defend yourself. Fight for right. Fight for truth. Say, preacher, you attack me, we're going to attack on that book right there. You can call me anything personally you want, but we're going to take it from that point of view. I have no problem saying that. God commands us to praise him. The word praise is used over and over and over and over and over in the Bible. But praise is misused in today's world. Praise is not a group of people getting up on a platform, playing a bunch of music and boogie-woogieing and jumping and dancing and swaying their hips and their hands and having a good feeling. That is not praise. Right. Praise has been perverted by religion. Man in his own religion has perverted praise. Praise is not a tingle. Praise is not a feeling. Praise isn't something that makes you wave your hands and say, I felt it. No. Praise isn't something that is felt. Praise is an action of the will, not a reaction based on emotion. I'm glad it's just your cup, Brother Joe, not your teeth. Amen. Praise in today's world, praise in most churches is a reaction to emotion. Oh, did you feel the Spirit? Show me one place in the Bible where I'm supposed to feel a Spirit. Well, that song, it just moves me. Yeah, so did Elvis. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I'm all shook up. got down on your level, didn't I, Miss Loretta? Mm-hmm. Now, wait a minute. Music can make you feel things, but not everything music make you feel is right either. I believe that we don't see God blessing us more because we don't praise him as we should. Praise is an action, not a reaction. Let me give you the definition of praise. You ready? It's real easy. You won't have to write it down. Praise is thanking God for what he has done. Praise is thanking God for what he has done. Worship is thanking God for what he is. Worship is not coming to church listening to the man of God preach. That's why on the sign it doesn't say morning worship. There's no such thing as a public worship service anywhere in Scripture. I love my wife. I'm not going to say in public the things that we say in private. I'll love on her in private. Amen. Not in public. Y'all know what I'm talking about here? Okay. Worship is loving on God. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. You see, that word know isn't a knowledge. It is in reference to an intimate relationship. That I may know him. I may love him. I may be moved to action by my love for him. Now watch this. Praise opens the door for God to want to bless you more. It's nice to do something good for somebody. When somebody thanks you for doing something, it makes you want to do something again, doesn't it? Have you ever done something nice for somebody and they just kind of didn't say anything, or they just snubbed their nose? It's kind of like holding a door for a lady and, I could do that myself. Well, I'll do it anyway. I want to stick a size 8.5 on her backside as she passes by. I'm trying to be kind, and somebody doesn't want to accept that kindness. But it sure is nice you hold the door and somebody says, thank you. Every once in today's society, it's like, what are you doing? I'm holding the door for you. Wow, haven't had that done for a long time. Thank you. You see, I like doing things, but may I say something? When I do something kind and someone says thank you for the kindness, it makes me want to do the kindness again. That's what praise does for God. When God does something and we praise him for it, it makes God say, that's a person that's going to give me credit. I might do something more for him. And the more he does and the more we praise, the more opportunity for blessings there are because we praise him more. Now, God says, by the way, isn't that what Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 11? Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Luke 11, 13 says virtually almost word for word the same thing. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 11. First book of the New Testament. It won't take you long to find it. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give you good things to them that ask him? In other words, if our children ask us for something that's good for them to have, and we enjoy doing those things for them, how much more does God want to do good things for us? And may I say something? When you do good things for your children and they don't respond accordingly, you don't want to do good things for them again. That's why you teach your children to be thankful for everything. In everything, give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5. See, we're supposed to teach people to be thankful for everything. God says here in Psalm 119, 164, I want you to notice something here. Seven times a day do I praise thee. I wonder, can you look at your life and say seven times every day that I praise God? Do I stop and take a moment seven times every day and thank God for something in my life? That means this. If you started thanking God at 6 a.m., that you woke up. I'll use 6 o'clock. Usually I'm up long before then, but if you did it at 6 o'clock, then at 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, noon, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and 6 o'clock, that's seven times in a day. If you did it every 2 hours, it would take you 12 hours to praise God seven times in a day. Some of you aren't awake 12 hours. You'll have to do it every hour because you're only awake for 7 hours. But if you praised God for seven times in 12 hours, it would be amazing how much your life would transform. You would not be as negative about everything going on around you. I didn't say the negative would stop. I didn't say all the bad things around you would stop. But your attitude wouldn't be as affected by it if you learned to praise God seven times a day. Now, I'm going to challenge you to do something. For the next 30 days, how about you try praising God seven times a day for the next 30 days? That means this. 210 times in the next month, you could praise God for something. And in 30 days, after you've praised God 210 times, I wonder how your life would be changed. I just wonder how your outlook on life would change. You see, God gives us 13 areas or 13 ways that we could praise him for no matter what's going on. By the way, when I say thank him for what he's done, that doesn't mean when you got up in the night and you kicked the bedpost and broke your toe that you say, oh, praise God, okay, that's one. No, you don't praise God you broke your toe. You might thank God that you didn't break the other nine at the same time, but I'm not saying that you become ridiculous with this. There are people that, you can praise God for everything. Well, God gives us some specified things for which we should praise him. Number one, we're to sing praises to God. Go to Psalm 9. Psalm 9. Psalm 9. And look at verse number 1. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. The last three mornings here at the church, the sunrise has been unbelievable. There's been no clouds. It's not been as colorful. But it's been, as the sun comes up over here in the east, where it does every morning real slow, just so you know, it's been gold. And I mean almost like fire. And the last three mornings in a row, I'll go out and take a picture of it. And I've been, just for the last 3 days, I've sung the same song to God. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, our trials are all o'er. And I'll sing to God that song. I am praising him because someday when that golden daybreak goes, we're going up. It's rapture time then. And that's time to really have fun, amen? When I see that golden daybreak, I think about the rapture and I thank God for it. We can praise God with our songs. Look at Psalm 28. Psalm 28, look at verse number 7. Psalm 28, verse number 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. I am helped, therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. When's the last time you sang a song of praise back to God? You say, well, preacher, have you heard me sing? You all have heard me sing. God said, make a joyful noise, not a great song. It's not how it sounds. It's wonderful to God if we're thanking him. Psalm 40, verse number 3. Psalm 40, verse number 3. If you can get there quick, get there. If not, just look at the page you're on like you're there. Psalm 40, verse number 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I can't tell you how many times I've been walking through a store humming a song. Somebody will say, boy, you're happy. Yep, what you singing? Oh, Amazing Grace or a certain song. They'll say, oh. Well, it sure is a whole lot better than what the world's playing out there. At least my music doesn't hurt your ears. My car's not going. Doesn't sound like a war going on. You don't have four-letter words coming out that nobody ought to utter. No wonder everybody's so negative. Listen to what they sing. Boy, that's good stuff. By the way, you can't sing praise to God with rock music jamming for Jesus. There's no such thing as Christian rock. The term rock and roll came out of the 1950s, and it was a vulgar term about two people in a physical relationship. I don't think you can put the word Christian with immorality and it be right scripturally. Nor can you use the devil's methods with God's words and make it work. That's like having the devil come up and preach the Bible. Everybody doing all right? It doesn't go together. It's as opposite as east is from west. So, praise, we're to praise God first of all with a song. Hey, do you sing a song to God every day? You could. Secondly, we're to praise God. Praise God's power. Turn to Psalm 21. When's the last time you thanked God for his power? Psalm 21, look at verse number 3. Yes. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. Notice it's talking about God being king. His authority. His power. Brother Scott jumped out of my truck at a little before 5 this morning, and at that end of the property is dark. Man, the stars were everywhere. And I looked up and I started saying, God, you're powerful. You made all that. I began to quote Psalm 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. What is a man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? I said, God, you're so good. Wonder how many people will go through life and never look up and pay attention to how great you are, and you're greater than that. When's the last time you thank God for his power? I'm talking about nature. I'm talking about a changed life. Folks, what I preached this morning was thanking God for his power in changing people's lives. I sent that video to Brother Fugit this afternoon of Gus singing that song about the blood. Happened to be one of the college tour groups he was singing with. And I told him this briefly, just the story of Gus. And he sent something back and he said, Brother Bush, I'm sitting at my desk and I got tears dripping off onto my desk. He said, what a blessing. He said, blesses me even more. We got a future tour group member. I said, I love it. I said, that's what the power of God can do. Hey, you don't reach a Gus. You don't reach a Stephen. You don't reach some of these special needs people with psychology. You reach them with Bibleology. Any day. When's the last time you thank God for his power? Think of how much power it takes for the sun to give you the warmth and the light that you want. Think of how bad it would be if God would only have given you sunshine, and how that the world would be a desert. God made it to where it would be light and dark, rain and clouds, so that we would have life as we have it. What a powerful God we have. Next, we're to praise him at and for church. Turn to Psalm 22. Did you know you're supposed to praise God at church and praise God for church? Psalm 22, look at verse number 22. I will declare thy name unto my what? Brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Skip down to verse 25. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. Isn't it amazing? We're supposed to praise God at church. It's part of, that's why we sing the songs that we sing. That's why when the preaching's going on, you hear something you agree with, and God's touched your heart about it, that it's right, and you're in agreement with it, you can say, praise the Lord. I'm not talking about something made your foot tap, and you say, boy, I like that song. I'm talking about a truth that will revolutionize your life. Psalm 35, verse number 18 says this. Psalm 35, 18 says, I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Did you know that you better learn how to praise God now? Because in heaven, you're going to be shouting praises to God. Some of you ought to learn just to say, well, glory. And it's all right. I promise you, you won't die. Well, I'm just too refined for that. I've watched you at ball games. Forget it. I've seen you play games at game night at church, and I know better than that. You're not that refined. You just have chosen not to do it for God. You do it for yourself. Well, I just don't want to put on a show. Then don't put on a show, but you better learn to praise God. Learn to say amen at the preaching. Learn to sing out loud. Learn to let others know how. You don't have to sing good, just sing. I thank God nobody's here when I sing most of the time. Amen. Me and God have a good time. He's the only one that likes it, but that's all right. You see, praise isn't swaying back and forth and jumping up and down and saying, you know, and singing the same words over and over and over and over and over again. Lord have mercy. That's not praise, that's a show. Praise is thanking God for what he has done, and we're supposed to thank. What, have you taken time to thank God for what he did at church today? Have you taken time to thank God for what he does in this building every day? Think about all the lives that get changed because of the ministry of this church. Unbelievable. I wonder how many people will not die and go to hell because of what's taken place inside these four walls. I wonder how many lives would be wrecked and ruined or discouraged in not right with God and in a mess had they not stumbled into an old-fashioned church like this. Think of the miracles that God has done and the great congregation, and we're just getting started. As I told the neighbor this week, he looked at me and said, "Boy, you're bucking the trend with a church that's growing." He said, "My church is dying." I said, "Well, come visit ours." I said, "You don't have to drive far." I said, "Tell you what, if you break down a hole in the fence here, just drive a tractor over and park back here. It's fine." He said, "You mean that, don't you?" I said, "Oh, yeah, trust me, I do." You see, praise isn't jumping around, bunch of garbage. That's somebody wanting to show off. Next, we're supposed to praise God for our health. Turn to Psalm 42. The older you get, the harder it is to do that. But Psalm 42, look at verse number 11. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." Everybody look at me for a second here. I believe we ought to thank God for our health. Psalm 43, verse number 5. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God." The health of my countenance. The older you get, the more aches and pains and the more things wrong there's going to be. It's called the process of sin. Okay? You don't feel at 55 like you did at 25. I promise you. I know. I'm there. I can't tell you what it's like after 55, but I can tell you it's not as good as it was at 25. If I last another 25 years, I'm sure at 80, I'm going to think 55 was pretty good. Amen, Pop? He's pushing 85 before too much longer here. Now, wait a minute. Now, from here up, we might be doing pretty good, but from there down, it's a whole different story. I took my dad out to the farm yesterday. I had to secure one of my tree stands. Well, it's a two-man stand. It weighs about 200, 250 pounds. It's a heavy monster. And both of the straps broke on the thing, Brother Mike. It was kind of funny. I had gone up and tied the top one. I got Brother Aaron up there with me one day. Well, the ladder was this way going up, and I said, "You want me to go up first?" "No, I'll go." Okay. Well, Brother Aaron's not used to getting all that up off the ground very often, I can tell. He starts going up this thing, and I knew right where the section was, and as soon as he hit that next rung, the whole thing went right towards the tree. The bow went out, and the top of it went this way, and it went, "Oh!" I literally sat on the ground going, "Ha, ha, ha, ha. Is this safe?" I said, "Just keep climbing." He got up there. And I was losing it. I get up there and I'm running up. He's like, "Don't move too much." I said, "You mean like this?" It's going, "Don't do that. Don't do that." I was having fun. I said, "I thought I knocked the city out of you. I got a little bit more work to do on you." Wait a minute. I knew that it wasn't going to fall down. But I wasn't real excited about cutting them things, what was left on it, and climbing around on that thing when it's not secure. Especially being out in the middle of the farm and nobody around. I said, "Pop, how about you go with me? I really don't need you to do anything, but if something happens, I want somebody to be able to make a phone call." He helped me a little bit. It's not a hard job, but I'm getting to the point in life where because I've done it without help before and done things I shouldn't do, it's wise to have somebody with me. I said, "There was a day when I wouldn't have done this. But because I did this with nobody else before, I want somebody with me now." It's that kind of thing. as we get older, we start thinking a little more securely. Now, we're supposed to thank God for our health. Hey, when I got up this morning, I was glad I could walk. I was glad I could get cleaned up and get a shower and get to church and drive. I could see well enough. I couldn't smell or taste. But thank God I've got the good health that I do have. How about we thank Him for the good health we do have and quit complaining about what we don't have? It would be amazing how much better your health would be if you thank God every day for the health you do have, no matter how bad it may be. Boy, that's good. I'll never forget Brother Jimbo. 2 days before he died, I walked in. Brother Jimbo, how you doing? I'm fine, preacher. Amen, Miss Loretta? That's exactly what he said. I'm doing all right, preacher. No, you're not. You're dying. I'm fine. Miss Osi. Till just a few hours before she died, I'm fine. I'm not kidding. Can I tell you something? Those kind of people that thank God for the health they did have, they weren't real complacent about the health they don't have. As long as you're alive, you ought to praise God. If you woke up on this side of the dirt, you can praise God. When you wake up on the other side, you can praise Him face to face. It's that simple. Next, we're to praise God for His word. Turn to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. Probably one of the things we praise God least for is the word of God. Psalm 56, verse number 4. In God will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Maybe during COVID, if people would have read their Bible, they wouldn't have been so afraid. Maybe in times of fear, it's because we're not reading the Bible like we should. God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Where do we get the love, the power, and the sound mind? The Word of God. When's the last time you praised God for His Word? When's the last time you read the Bible and God gave you the truth and you said, God, thank you. Man, I love reading the Bible because, man, I'm writing sermon ideas down. I'm getting truth. I'm getting things, and it's exciting to me. You see, we're to praise God for His word. Let me read it. You don't need to turn there. You can write it down if you want. But Psalm 138, verse number 4. Psalm 138, verse number 4 says, all the kings of the earth shall praise Thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of Thy mouth. We ought to praise God for the word of God. I'm glad we don't have to speak the words of man. We can speak the words of God. I'm glad we don't have to trust the president or Nancy Pelosi or Chucky Schumer. We can trust the ever-living word of God, the King James Bible. If you read it daily, you'd have something for yourself to praise God for. Maybe we ought to read it every day so that we have something to praise Him for. Next, we ought to praise God for His loving kindness. Turn to Psalm 63. This is one that's going to help you. Psalm 63, verse number 3. Because of Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. I want you to notice something. Look at the verse again. Because of Thy, what's the next word? Loving kindness. It doesn't say because of Thy kindness. It says loving kindness. It is not just kindness. It is loving with kind actions. It is God who loves us with kind actions. You can be kind to somebody and not love them. But when you love someone and you're kind to them, it's warmer. And God says He loves us with a loving kindness. Psalm 138, let me go back there. You don't need to turn there because I'll get there before you. Psalm 138, verse number 2 says this. As soon as I get the page turned, dirty, rotten page. There we go. I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth, for Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. thy loving kindness, thy word. Wow. When's the last time you looked at God and said, thank you for loving me that good? Everybody was leaving today finally. I got in my truck. I hadn't gotten down the driveway yet. I said, God, you're so good. Look what you did today. You're so good. Had many people say we shouldn't start this church. Had many people try to stop us. But you loved on us today and we tried to love on you. That was God's loving kindness. It's not just kindness, it's loving kindness. Kindness with love. I can be kind to people I don't know. I can be kind to a total stranger. I don't have to love them to be kind to them, but loving kindness, oh, that's a different level of kindness. Next, we ought to praise the name of God. Psalm 69. Look at Psalm 69, verse number 30. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Everybody look at me for a second here. I get a little sick and tired of everybody using God's name with swear words. How come the only God they put a curse with is Jehovah God? You want to get somebody upset when they start cussing? How about, I've stopped people nowadays. It's fun. You want to watch people wiggle? Tell them, hey, 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 what? That's my God. How about you use Allah's name instead? How about you use Muhammad's name instead? Instead of using God's name, use somebody else's God, not my God. Amen. Boy, you want to watch everybody go, they suck all the air out of the room, buddy. It's great. See, preacher, do you do that? Yeah, that's my God. I'm going to praise his name. Amen. Hey, I thank God I don't have to pray to a piece of wood. I don't have to pray to a statue. I don't even have to pray to Mother Mary. I can talk directly to the God of the universe who made all things. The Lord God is his name. We ought to thank God for God. We ought to praise his name. Psalm 99, verse number 3. Let me read it to you. If you're close, you can grab it. If not, again, just look at the page. Nobody will know. Psalm 99, verse number 3. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. You want to watch the liberals run? Start talking about God. Start talking about Jesus. Oh, you can't do that. Watch me. We ought to praise God that he is God. Next, praise God when poor or in need. Psalm 74. I want you to read this verse. Many of you ought to mark it down. Psalm 74, verse number 21. Oh, let not the oppressed return to shame. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. God didn't say let the rich only. He said let the poor and the needy. What does a poor or a needy person have to praise God for? Everything. Amen. Same thing a rich person does. Just because you're poor doesn't mean that you might be poorer than Job's turkey, but guess what? You can still praise God. You don't have to have much to praise God. If you're still alive, you can praise God. God said in Psalm 150, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. If you're still sucking air, you ought to praise God. You see, not because you're poor, not because you're in need, should you praise God, but while you're poor and while you're in need, we ought to praise God. Some people stay in poverty because they've never praised God. Praise God that he can supply your need. Hey, there's been many a time my wife and I have not been, we've never been wealthy, but honestly, just, shaking the couch out, trying to find coins that fell down, digging under car cushions and looking everywhere for anything you can to scrape up whatever you could. But we've always praised God for what he's done and how he's gotten us through those times. There's times it's been lean. I remember one year I looked at her and said, I don't know what we're going to do for the kids for Christmas, but we just don't have it. And honestly, we decided we was going to buy each kid one thing, and that was it. And it wasn't going to be a whole lot. Say, did that bother you? No, we had a lot to praise God for. Oh, but by the way, Christmas morning, my phone rang and said, go out in the driveway. There was about a foot of snow on the ground. Somebody had shoveled a patch of snow about twice the size of this pulpit square. And there must have been $1,000 worth of gifts there, piled up and wrapped with the kids' names on it. Can I tell you something? That's enough to make you want to shout. Please don't take this the wrong way. The guy in the red suit didn't get the credit. The guy with the crimson cross did. I don't know how else to say that. My children learned that it's God that supplies the needs. Say, well, preacher, was it that? Sometimes those were lean days, but we had a lot to praise God for. Everybody doing all right? Next. This one's going to make you want to get mad at me. God says, praise God for all generations. Look at Psalm 79, verse 13. Psalm 79, 13 says this. So we, thy people, and the sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Now listen to me. That means this, all generations should praise God. Children ought to learn to thank God for what they have. Teenagers ought to learn to thank God for what they have. College students and young married people and middle-aged people and older middle-aged people and even older middle-aged people. And older people ought to learn to praise God for what they have. Brother Harry and I went up and see Brother Bohr this week. Took him over 100 cards and notes that y'all gave him, and big old tears running down that man's face. Wait a minute. Before I left, I put my hand in his hand to pray for him, and he put his other hand on top of it, and he would just rub it while I prayed. Brother Harry, pretty close word for word this way, said, I just love you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. I know you love me, Pastor. Thank you for coming. Can I tell you something? We've got an awful lot to thank God for. All generations. Why do we take time to write a 91-year-old man with a broke hip notes? Because we ought to learn to praise all generations. We ought not wipe the memorials down of people that we think we disagree with because of the rewriting of history. I'm telling you, they're wiping out all the Civil War stuff because they want to start their own and they want to be the oppressors. Praise him for all family and all generations as we get older. I thank God for the grandkids. I thank God for my children. Thank God I still got my dad, and my wife has both of her folks. I thank God for my mama who's in heaven. Thought about her yesterday a lot. Drove by the cemetery and saw her grave. Say why? I was just thinking about her. Thank God for what she put into my life. Next, we got to praise God for his goodness to us. Turn to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. I only have two or three things left. Don't worry. Psalm 107, look at verse number 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. God said four times there in one chapter, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works. When's the last time you told God how good he is and how things work together because of him? Tell him about every goodness that you have ever gotten from him. I wonder, look at me for a second here. I wonder how many times you've asked God a prayer request. How long you asked him for something and he eventually answered it. Amen. And then one time you say thank you. To the people of this church, I never want to get over the fact that God gave us this building and this property. 3.5 years later, I'm still thanking God because we begged him for over 3.5 years. If you would take as much time to praise God after an answer of prayer as you did to ask him for it, maybe you're more apt to get something else later. We spend all this time begging God, begging God, begging God, begging God, begging God. When's the last time you thanked him that we had 163 in church a couple weeks ago? When's the last time you thanked God for somebody in your family that got saved? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works. Psalm 118, the next thing, praise God for salvation. Psalm 118, look at verse number 21. I will praise thee for a pizza. I will praise thee for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. You say, well, preacher, I just don't have much to thank God for. Well, bless God. If you're saved, your name's written in heaven. If you're saved, you're not going to die and go to hell someday. If you're saved, your sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus, and God will not remember them anymore. You'll never be judged for them. You'll walk streets of gold. You'll see the people and the loved ones who have gone before that were saved, and you'll never face the judgment for your sin. And you tell me you have nothing to praise God for? Amen. Good night. It doesn't take me long to get excited. So all I got to do is think about the fact that I got saved when I was a child and I didn't have to go through some of the things y'all went through. Brother Myers was talking about some of his wild days. No wonder he doesn't have no hair. He burned it all out. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? I thank God I got saved as a child. That I lived a good life. By the age of 13, God called me to preach and started preaching, and I haven't shut up since. I thank God for that. You say, well, do you always have everything going good in your life? Yeah, right. But I thank God for my salvation. Well, the Christian life just so hard. Well, look at the fact that you're saved. On your way to heaven, your sins are forgiven. You've not been condemned. You're going to heaven, walking streets of gold, never burn in hell. I think you could get excited for a little bit and praise God. Amen. Next, we ought to praise God for how our bodies are made. Psalm 139, verse number 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. Aren't you glad God didn't put your nose where your feet are? You'd really have a stinky outlook in life, wouldn't you? You've ever thought about how your body is put together and how God thought about it? Aren't you glad you don't have to walk on your hands? I was preaching in chapel this week to the children, and I preached a whole sermon about our hands. 27 bones on your hand. We don't realize how much we use our hands for. Years ago, I met a kid, 15 years old. He was born with no hands and no arms. It took him 15 minutes to tie a shoe with his tongue and his lips. 30 minutes a day to put his shoes on. That was the day before Velcro. That young man learned to tie his shoes with his tongue and his lips. Took him 15 minutes. I couldn't get my shoe to my mouth. And I'd find out how to put cowboy boots on or something. No. I walked away from seeing that kid and said, boy, I got an awful lot to thank God for. Mine might hurt and I might not feel the best every day, but I sure got it pretty good. Think about how God put you together, that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, not evolved.
Amen.
Lastly, Psalm 150, verse number 2. I gotta quit. Psalm 150, verse number 2. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. When's the last time you praised God for his mighty acts? I love watching the sun come up every morning. Can I tell you why? God's painting the picture for us and telling us he loves us every day. His might. Hey, you think it's so easy? You go cause the sun to rise. Think of how much power is involved. Think of how great it is that it's going to happen all around the world every day. Maybe we just ought to take time to praise God for his greatness. 7 times a day. I'm not talking about swinging and swaying and hooting and hollering. And I'm talking about thanking God for what he has done. I gave you a list of 13 different things God told us in Scripture we ought to praise him for and how to do it. I challenge you for the next 30 days. Will you do it? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Some of you ought to set 7 alarms on your phone. And when it goes off, praise God for something. Write these 13 things down on a card and keep with you. Just pick one and praise God for it. I'm going to ask, how many of you will say, preacher, for the next 30 days, I'm going to try it. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, 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 many hands. Thank you. You may put them down. In 30 days, I wonder what God's going to do in this church. How the Spirit will increase and how your outlook on life. Maybe we won't be so nasty and negative like the world is.